Good morning and welcome to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Maaseh Rishon, the first Aliyah in Parshas Maaseh. This Aliyah focuses on the travels of Israel, the first part, and it is in fact reflective of the name of the Parsha, which is the travels, Maaseh. Our Parsha as a whole has 132 psukim. Our Aliyah in total is only 10 psukim long, from Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Aleph to Yud. Let's take a look at the travels described in this Aliyah, and then a few points to ponder. We're told the travels of Bnei Israel is from the time they left Egypt until present day, where they're standing on the Aravos Moav, the steps of Moav. And Moshe writes down their travels by the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a complex pasuk. Vayichtav Moshe's Moitzoyim L'maaseh. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down their leavings and their travels, Al Pi Hashem, by the mouth of God, Ve'ele Maaseim L'moitzoyim. These are their travels to their destinations. We hear now about the first few. We hear about how they left Ramses, on the 15th of the first month, that is the first day of Pesach. The day after Pesach, when the Korban Pesach was brought, Israel left with a strong hand. Then we hear that the Egyptians were burying their dead, and Hashem smote all their children and deities. We hear that they're in front of the area of Baal Tzafon in just a second. We get to the area of Sukkos, then Esan, and Pi Hachiros, which is in front of Baal Tzafon, which is in front of Migdal, which is one of their idols. And we hear about how they passed through the sea and went through the desert of Esan and dwelt next into Marah, and then Elima, where there are 12 springs of waters and 70 date palms there. And finally, we hear about them camping on the banks of Yamsuf. This seems to be after the Kriyas Yamsuf, because Marah was after the splitting of Yamsuf. So a few basic points to ponder is, why are we being taught about their travels, the nation of Israel's travels specifically here? Rashi brings two options. One is to show the mercy of Hashem, because there are 42 stops in this journey in total, but there are 40 years in the desert. Now, that would sound like they're moving every year, but it's not the case. The first 14 stops were in the first year of their traveling, before the episode of the Meraglim. So that was going to happen anyway. The last 8 were, in fact, after they arrived at Hor HaHar, which was in Mechoresh Av, their last year. So really, the essential remaining 38 years only had 20 stops, which means to say that there was not a huge amount of upheaval. So it was showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, Hashem made them sojourn in the desert, but it was not this terrible chaos of backwards and forwards all the time. The Medrash Tanhuma brings an example where it describes a father who took a sick child on a long journey far away to get healing. On the way back, the father retraces the steps of the son and shows the son all these places. Here was a place where you bumped your head. This is a place where you needed to sleep. And all the details about the journey on the way back. So it's reliving that journey as well. It's interesting to note that the extra details of this happened here and this happened there are actually the non-central details. So we don't hear about issues like Kriyas Yamsuf explicitly and Matan Torah and some of the bigger issues. We only hear about some of the minor issues, which are perhaps the ones that need to be emphasized here. So with all interest, noting that the Ramban, Nachmanides quotes the Moreh Nevuchim, that's the Rambam in Maimonides, who says that in the future, as people will live in their air-conditioned apartments in Tel Aviv, and they'll look back, they'll look at history and they'll revise the history. They'll say, it wasn't really a desert. It wasn't really so long. It really wasn't so bad. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu details his journey very explicitly so that we can know that, yes, it was long, it was arduous, and it was complicated, and this was miraculous, therefore. We can't go back. If Hashem had just said very broadly, we were in the desert and we came to the land of Israel, without these specific details, then it would be easy to perhaps to look at history through a revisionist perspective. Just seeing the truth should be the foundation of knowing the faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, says the Rambam, that if we look at all these journeys, and Hashem looked after us in all these places, a nation of millions of people, there should be no question on this as well. What does that curious pasuk mean? Switching into sort of their journeys and their arrivals, what's going on over here? So the Klei Yakar explains, it really should have been direct. They should have left the land of Egypt. They should have traveled and then on eagle's wings been taken into the land of Israel. That would have been Motzoyahem, leaving Egypt, Lemaaseyahem, to their journey, and then they would have been taken from there. But a wedge was driven into the middle and they were not able to get to the land of Israel. There was a break, and that's why they had to do Maaseyahem, Lemotzoyahem, the next part, which is describing, so to speak, the more complex aspect of their journey, which was, we'll call it Plan B. Now, wasn't the whole Torah written by Hashem? and dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. So why over here is the emphasis being that this is what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down by the dictation of Hashem? That's true of all the Torah, not just the beginning of Parshas Maaseh. So the Aracham explains, yes, actually, it's interesting that in the sequence over here, Moshe Rabbeinu actually wrote this based on the chronological at a synchronistic time, which means to say that every journey Moshe added to his journal. So at the beginning he wrote, they left Ramses, and then he stopped there. And then he went on to describe, oh, they came to Sukkot, and he added on. So each time Hashem was dictating, adding on, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at the very end of it, take all your Pinkas, your notes, your journal, and intern it and put it into the beginning of this section of the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu's were called sequence by sequence, event by event accounting, which was based on Hashem's words, is now being invested in here. And the Torah is emphasizing that this was based on that. Finally, what are all the details over here? Why do we need to hear all these details? So two which are worth focusing on are, one is Asheri Ka Hashem Bohem Kol Bechor Hashem hit with them all the firstborns. So Klei Yaakov quotes a fascinating idea that there was civil unrest when the nation of Egypt heard that there was going to be the death of the firstborns. The firstborns themselves revolted, and there was civil war between the Egyptians. So Hashem was killing the Egyptians through their own firstborns because of the fear of their own life. That's what you see from this pasuk over here. Another thing that Klei Yaakov points out is this notion that they stopped in front of Baal Tzephon. Baal Tzephon was one of their great deities. It was a large statue. So the fact that the nation of Israel stopped in front of it was the reason that Egypt thought that the Jews were confused, the Israelites were confused, and they felt that they could run after them on day three, which is why they ran after them to Yam Suf itself. So these details have a lot of significance in understanding the theological underpinnings of this experience. With this, we close Rishon. We'll continue with the second and last part of the journeys of the Maaseh in the next Aliyah. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.